Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Everything. Pete, why do you always laugh when I say that?
Like you're trying to be cool saying it.
I always ask you, do you want to start? And then sometimes you do. And then when you say I can start, you mock me for starting.
You just had a very serious look on your face when you did it.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Everything.
Our brains are mush. You know, I actually, I was waiting for what the Hallmark Channel, how the Hallmark Channel would response, what their response would be to people staying at home and social distancing, or maybe having to stay at home if they're sick. And they did, they like released like a whole, we didn't watch any of it, but there was like a big marathon of things, this like of
Christmas movies or
Valentine movies for some reason.
We're close to
When
February.
Calls the Heart marathons and Christmas movies too.
Yeah.
So we'll just see how, I wonder if there are they maybe, I wonder if this will affect, you know, how like Hollywood is kind of shut down. Like, is this going to affect the production of Hallmark Christmas movies? Will we have less this year? Is this like, this is probably when they're making them, don't you think?
This is when it really hits home.
When we're really affected. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Or will this work be worked into this, like, to any storylines at all? Like, that people fall in love because
during a pandemic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little much for Hallmark.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't like to, like, really deal with reality.
Well, because you go to Hallmark to get away from reality.
Yeah, that's true.
There was a, we watched a Netflix movie last night. What was it called again?
Someone Great.
Someone Great. You didn't like it, right?
No, not good.
There was a point in there, they go out a lot.
Yeah.
They drink a lot.
Yuck. Like, yeah. They go out late and drink, like, tequila. Like, ugh, all that just sounds horrible to
me. And they're also 30.
Yeah.
But they, there's one point where you said, like, you know, I hate these people. They go out at night. Which I thought was funny because, yeah, with all this, the talk of, you know, staying inside and not going out and doing things, it's really not impacting our our day-to-day in our house.
Well, people have been, yeah, I was saying that, like, my worst nightmare is going out late at night to a club, drinking tequila and having to do drugs. Like, that just, like, nothing sounds more horrible to me than that. But then I saw somebody post like a picture of being stuck at home with their kids and their house is just destroyed. I was like, that looks pretty bad too.
We just have like we have just fur everywhere because we have animals.
Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah, but people have been posting like what they've been watching, what media they've been consuming while we're home. And so you had shown me, like, someone posted how much they loved that movie. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember last year that, like, some podcasts I listened to, multiple people were saying how much they loved that movie, that it was, like, one of the best rom-coms in a long time.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy with Lakeith Stanfield and Gina Rodriguez. Uh-huh. And what's the girl, the blonde?
Brittany Snow.
Brittany Snow, yeah.
And, I mean, it wasn't horrible. There's some good things about it, but meh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have the same nostalgia that they do, so I realized that, like, and some of the music was good and some of the music was horrible. And, you know, I realized that, like, a lot of podcasts I listen to, I think the people who do them are, like, 32.
So it hits home.
So for them, they're like, oh, my gosh, this is just like when I was in college.
Because
it's like these college friends and you kind of see things over the course of the past, like, 9 years since they graduated college. And my nostalgia is a little bit different from theirs.
I think that with a lot of these Netflix romantic comedies, my review is pretty much the same in that I say, it was fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine. It's fine.
Is this what movies are coming to? I hope not. No, I mean, I don't think so. I think movies are still, they're still good movies. But when people accept this as an acceptable movie, I'm concerned.
I will say that it is, if you don't want to hunker down and watch a World War II documentary.
Yeah, but there's things in between those two.
This is just
it's the other.
It's very like a Hallmark Channel movie. I mean, a little better than that,
yeah.
I would say. But,
yeah,
you know, it's just like mindless. It's fun. There's some funny parts.
Today was, so I went and got a new foster cat today. We just I had said that we were going to wait to get it. We still have Dot, who's available. Mm-hmm. Who's,
yep.
We can't say over and over again how great she is. Nobody wants her, but she's the best. Yeah, I don't know why amazing. Nobody wants her. She's so, I couldn't say any more and more. Like, or you can have one of our other cats and we'll keep her. But I said after the marathon, we would add another foster in or be open for like kittens, as it would be kitten season soon. And but just, it just seemed weird, like being gone, having all this, like just the amount of time that training takes plus being gone, to like add that to it didn't seem to make a lot of sense. So now I'm like, okay, the Boston Marathon's postponed, I have time, not training quite as hard, so I have time to devote something else. And and also, like, when, you know, we always notice too, when there's some kind of crisis happens, that more pets end up at the shelter for mm-hmm. various reasons. So I thought, okay, let's take another foster, let's open up a space. So I went and picked up from our rescue director. She was, had taken in this cat that had been dumped on our front porch at the adoption center. So we took this cat, Moon. He was so sweet.
Yeah.
And friendly and just, yeah, like, so snuggly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really pretty. And has, he like a really
right up to
fluffy
you.
Tail. Mm-hmm. An orange and white cat. And so, yeah, so I drove down to pick up Moon, and on my way, I was like, hey, what can I... I tried to listen to some local radio, and it was terrible. I'm not going to say what station that is, but it was horrible. And so I'm like, okay, I'll listen to a podcast, and I like listening to that New York Times, The Daily, yeah. And it's been... I think it's important to listen to right now, but it's been kind of tough. And all of a sudden, they're talking about, like, all the things that are making them happy. I think they've realized, like, oh, we're... we need to lighten this up just a little bit. We need to be informative, but... we need to balance things out a little bit. Mm-hmm. So this was, you know, obviously Tom Hanks was like the first big celebrity to get coronavirus. And so this is an interview, a recent interview with Tom Hanks by one of the journalists. And it was just like, it was just about how that this journalist, her interaction with him was so wonderful, and how she was, they were in Santa Fe where he was filming a movie and she had altitude sickness, and he was so compassionate towards her. And he's just such a genuinely kind person. And I don't know, just like, it made me kind of like choke up. It was just so sweet, and I really enjoyed it. So I recommend, we're gonna talk about things that we've liked, so that'll be my first thing I'll recommend. So I came home and I was just like, I love Tom Hanks so much, we need to watch Tom Hanks movies today. And you're like, okay. And I'm like, let's watch, okay, we can watch, we never saw Toy Story 4 and we never saw the Mr. Rogers movie, Won't You Be My Neighbor. And you were like, okay, I'll watch Toy Story 4. Like, your enthusiasm was very low for this.
I mean, and I love Mr. Rogers and I love the documentary. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, there was something about it that seemed, I don't know, it didn't appeal to me to watch the Mr. Rod. Toy Story 4, yes, I was, for some reason, I'm into that. But,
well, as I was driving, I was thinking, like, what Tom Hanks movie can we watch? Because obviously there's a lot of Tom Hanks movies I love that are old that I've watched a ton of times. Mm-hmm. I love You've Got Mail. I love Sleepless in Seattle. But I mean, I'd even watch like Splash, I think. But then I was thinking, like, what more recent Tom Hanks movies would I watch? Captain Phillips. Cloud Atlas.
I did ask you if you wanted to watch, you know, the From the Earth to the Moon, the 12-part.
Oh, so as much as I love Tom Hanks, it's hard to, like, space. I'm like, oh, what have you done the past 24 years since you won Oscars? This is a struggle.
Didn't he do a mob movie?
He was in Road to Perdition.
Oh, yeah, Road to Perdition.
That's a long time ago, too, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't like...
Yeah.
But somehow those two movies I got excited about, but you weren't.
I was excited about Toy Story 4.
Well, okay, the big thing that's happened this weekend... I mean, we have watched some things, but the big thing that's happened this weekend is that I think we went into this weekend thinking that... we would watch, like, get caught up on tons of things and watch a ton of stuff, and we really haven't.
Time just gets away
from really
you.
It really does. It's like, yeah, the weekend is basically over at this point. And yeah, I think, like, we thought we're going to read every book that we have, play every game, watch 25 episodes of This Is Us, watch all of The Americans. And we haven't done any of this. By the way, The Americans is the story with that is that we watched, like, the pilot, and I didn't like it, and you liked it.
Yeah, I loved it a lot.
And how many episodes do you think you watched?
I watched most.
Honestly.
I probably watched most of the first season.
Okay, that's it.
But I think I watched it twice, too, because
you'd fall asleep, like, every 5 minutes.
We'd watch... we watched it, And I think you watched more than the pilot.
I did.
I think you watched maybe two or three.
I hated it.
Watched that, and then I watched like maybe three or four more.
Ugh, just like thinking about it makes me like, bleh.
And then I took a long break, and I went back to continue it, and I didn't remember anything about it. So instead of about it, I started from the beginning, and then I got to like episode 10, and then I stopped.
You made it that far. We would like go on vacation, and you'd put like 100 episodes of The Americans on your phone, and you'd get through like 5 minutes of one, and then just fall asleep on the plane. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's not because it wasn't good, because I can fall asleep to anything, as you know.
Well, for years, you've held this over me, like, let's watch The Americans. You always bring this up.
It's one of the most highly touted shows. If you ask any critic whom you would admire when they'll recommend their favorite shows of all time, The Americans is always up there.
I kind of felt like I was safe now from The Americans. Like, it's been a while since it's been off the air, so they're not making new ones to threaten me with. So I kind of felt like, I'm like, okay, I think he's forgotten about it, and then he brought it up.
We have a lot of stuff on the DVR. The Better Call Saul.
We have 3 seasons of Better Call Saul.
We have
25 episodes of This Is Us.
And we were really good about This Is Us.
It was really good until they started the stuff with the Vietnam stuff and the dumb actor kid. Like, we were trying to figure out like why we stopped watching it, and we didn't like when they did like the Vietnam stuff and the stuff with like, yeah, what's his name, who's the actor, was just a lot. And then when Sterling K. Brown, I can't even remember their characters' names anymore. When Sterling K. Brown and his wife were like having trouble, that was like interesting. But then when you actually had to watch it, it was not.
And I think they went on a spring hiatus.
And we lost any kind of
momentum.
And then
we never went back when it came back on.
And then it just kept piling up. And now we're at 25. All right. It's 4:55 right now. How many can we get through?
They're all still on the DVR, right?
Yeah, because sometimes I secretly delete things from the DVR.
I noticed that you do that. I do thank you for keeping the Cubs World Series.
We still have the 2016 Cubs World Series game on the DVR. We also still have a DVR. Another archaic.
No, DVRs are still...
They are.
Yeah, they're still a thing.
But, and we got caught up on High Maintenance, which was really good.
Joe's the best.
It's so calming. Like, it, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just the tone of it is very calming. The soundtrack. Yeah.
I really enjoyed the very first episode of this new season where Ira Glass and This American Life crew was on there.
Yeah.
I just thought that the way they ended that episode was just like perfect. It was exactly what I want out of an episode of High Maintenance.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's on HBO.
People keep telling, keep saying that they love that episode, and I don't know. It was not my favorite, but it's still good.
Maybe as a fan of This American Life, it appealed to me in that what they ended up doing the story on.
Yeah.
Was, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but it was just I just thought it was a very creative way.
I kind of like when the episodes are like more chill and smaller in some way than that.
Yeah.
Though I also really loved the one about where he hangs out with the people from the garden.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's in this season. I mean, there's so many good ones, but that one's really good too. It's great. And you don't have to,
you don't have to,
you don't
really
have to
know
watch every episode. Yeah, it's every episode is
a
standalone.
Self-contained, yeah.
Yeah. Thing. So you can watch anyone. We didn't watch it this weekend, but I finished High Fidelity and
I'm on episode 8.
You're almost done, and that's, I really enjoyed that as well.
In Rob, the main character, played by
Zoe Kravitz,
yeah, she's trying to catch up on The Sopranos. She hasn't watched The Sopranos, and she's like, maybe I'll start watching The Sopranos. But if you like the movie, if you like the book, this adaptation is really good.
Mm-hmm.
The cast is awesome.
I know, I love
everyone. She's awesome.
In it. Yeah,
the two people that she works with at the record store are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Clyde,
mm-hmm.
who was on The Office, and I'm sure he's been in a bunch of other things as her
kind of love interest,
of boyfriend now, is great.
The
and it's really funny.
Good.
The music is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I've
feels
loved,
like Brooklyn.
Yeah, I've loved every episode of it. It's on Hulu.
What else have we watched or is on our list?
Cheer.
But can we
still talk about Cheer?
No.
I love Cheer. People may have not watched it.
You can find one person under a rock that hasn't watched it.
I don't think people... There's so much media that people have maybe have not seen it.
Yeah.
Or have heard about it and they're waiting for your recommendation of it to finally
I was just listening to someone talk about how good the Hillary Clinton documentary was, and that's totally something where we'll be like, okay, we need to watch the Hillary Clinton documentary and just we just talk about it and never do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like too, like I'm trying to get away from politics when I'm watching TV.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like just, yeah, dealing with the coronavirus stuff. Yeah, I'm just kind of glued to the television and Twitter and stuff. I will say that Twitter has been dynamic during this.
Yeah, people have been hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a serious issue, but
people's take, like picking up on little things and their takes on things have been really
good. I've really enjoyed some of the, you know, various comedians and, you know, critics and whatnot that have been really hilarious about what's going on with the coronavirus.
And then there's also been really great on whatever, is there some term for this, for when you do like a draw, you put a drawing on like an illustration or kind of a mini comic on Instagram and post it?
Yeah,
what's the word? There's gotta be some catchy word for that.
Anyway, yeah, I don't
people
know.
Have been really clever with those too.
Yeah there's so. Been yeah there's been some, so despite what, you know, what sometimes might feel like the world ending, there's some joy out there.
Yeah.
So, and I know that you're like very anxious about all this a little bit more than I am. Not that I'm not, but, and I feel that I'm to blame because a lot of times, you know, we've been talking about this for 2 months.
Yeah. No, because this has been your life.
And especially over the last like 3 weeks, especially.
Yeah.
You know, but like we've been talking about this since it started in China.
Yeah.
Then I'd come home and like I would say like, oh my god, Molly, do you know that a million people in Italy are gonna die?
Yeah.
You know, and like so I was
no,
like,
Justin for months has been saying like, aren't people paying attention to this, seeing what has happened? Like I get really scared when I see these temporary hospitals in Wuhan, and then you have Joe Schmo calling and be like, it's not gonna be anything here, don't worry about it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah I was actually this today, Sunday, I was watching Governor Pritzker's press conference on Facebook, and whatever, I forget what network, I don't know if it was Fox or Channel 2 or something, I was watching the video stream of it, and so you could see the comments, and even still today, people were like commenting on his closing of the bars and restaurants is like an overreaction. I can't believe, like, you know, this guy's a dummy, you know, like,
well, the things that give me anxiety are people not reacting enough and not taking it seriously enough and are not thinking it's a real thing and just going about life as normal when we have a chance right now to contain it and or the best contain it more and be done with it faster.
Yeah. So Twitter, I've enjoyed like some of the stuff on Twitter, even though I may find myself like going up to you and saying, oh my god, look at this horrible chart of things that are going to happen.
So much.
And I didn't realize that I did it so much until you would say like, why are you telling me all this
over and over and over and over again?
So Shrill, we've watched Shrill.
We need to finish that. But what I was going to say about the things that had concerned me are people not taking it seriously enough, and that, but then I think like, okay, I never there's so much at work that I never have time to do, and I'm like, now I might have the time to do these things. And people ask me all the time to do custom stuff, and I almost all the time have to turn it down because there's no time. So, you know, now I might have time to do that, and just maybe I can make some work that's not just for work, and I can get caught up on the things that get pushed to the side that still need to get done. I can make a lot of new things. So it's kind of exciting to have, you know, like, oh, I have the time to do those things. But then it's also a lot of pressure that like, oh my gosh, I have to do all this stuff. And I feel like it's the same way at home. It's like, I'm always saying, oh, I wish I had time to clean the basement. I wish I had time to work in the yard. And now I have time to do these things. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to, like today I was like, there were all these things I was going to get done that I didn't get done.
It's weird how time slips away because yesterday, like you went for a massage. I went to the gym. We came home.
And we will say that saying those things, going out where I go to massages at a doctor's office where things are very sterile and they're very aware of things and taking plenty of time to clean in between. And massages are good for your immune system and for your stress right now. And we're still going to Orange Theory and they're doing a great job of keeping distance, space between people, cleaning things, that they've changed the format of the classes so that there's less contact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, not there's no contact, but there's more space between everyone and giving themselves more time between classes to clean. So, we feel like because we are healthy, that there are still a few places that went without, that are hardly anybody there that we can go to.
The biggest concern for me on a daily basis is the train. Yeah. I still take the CTA to and from work for the most part. Coming home, it's not so bad because there, you know, I work late, so there's not as many people on the train, so that I can usually keep my distance. But then in the afternoon, it depends on what time the train is. You know, there's oftentimes where I might be next to somebody, and that's kind of where I am like, I got to try to figure something else out.
Yeah.
Another thing that I wanted to mention, and is if we can still talk about stuff that we've liked, we haven't talked about Molly's favorite movie of all time, Ford versus Ferrari.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
Did we?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, about how, like, when we were on the plane and how you would, like, look at me and, like, Christian Bale. Oh. Yeah.
Are you sure? Yeah, I still have it on
my favorite movie. This is your favorite subject.
I still have it on my list.
I really feel like we talked about it. Well, if we didn't, I love Ford versus Ferrari. I tell everybody to watch it.
Another thing that happened, this was before... 2 weeks ago or last week before we were staying inside, mm-hmm. I was off on a Friday. Was it last Friday? Maybe it was last Friday. I can't remember, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I rarely have the nights off. So we were like, oh, let's go out to dinner. You were going to run a lot the next morning, I think. I can't remember. So we went to this restaurant in Nevinson called Peckish Pig. Mm-hmm. We drive by and it looked kind of crowded in there. So I'm like, I'll drop you off here. You go in, put our names on. I'll go find a parking spot and then I'll meet you in there.
Yeah.
So I look around for a while. It took me a little while to find parking, and I kind of zoom back towards the restaurant looking for a space.
Well, I was standing outside so cold and I had texted you to come pick me back up.
But I was driving. You know,
yeah, okay. Waiting.
My phone was in my pocket.
But you have an Apple Watch.
Yeah, but sometimes, I don't know, like sometimes it doesn't come up or I have to hit the button and mm-hmm. I can't get the button from, you know.
And didn't I tell you I'm going to text you if the wait is long?
Yes, you did. Yes. But again, the phone was in my pocket. When you're driving, you had a huge winter coat on. Mm-hmm. You can't get your hand down where you're driving. Men know what this is. If your phone is in your front pocket and you're driving, mm-hmm. you can't really reach for it. And I was like, I'm going to find a parking in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Parking spot in a couple of minutes. You're not going to die. So I circle back and there's a spot like right in front of the restaurant on the other side of the street. So I kind of park in it and then I look. Mm-hmm. Across the street and you're out in front of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? Must be too long of a wait. You come across, get in, and something very bizarre happened to you, which I've never heard.
Well, I mean, maybe it's bizarre, but the norm is that service at, like, hosts and getting a table at a restaurant, hosts at a restaurant are often it's often challenging. I feel like when we had trouble at that beer plant, I feel like the norm, I hear certain people all the time about how, like, they went in and the place is empty and they're like, okay, there's four of us. They're like, there's no tables. And they're like, you have an empty restaurant. They're like, those are all reservations. You know, like, there's just...
They need to figure
like
out a way. I feel like
the norm is going into a restaurant and expecting a challenge when you ask for a table. It's rare to just have an easy experience.
Yeah.
So, yes, abnormal what happened, but normal that it was challenging, though.
What happened was something that I've never heard of. And maybe, you know, we don't go out to eat that often.
We go out a lot.
But we don't go out to restaurants.
When it's crowded,
where we need a reservation. You know, that's, you know, once every couple months or something, once every month. So whatever. So maybe it's nothing that I had ever seen before, but maybe it's a little bit more common than I think. So what happened?
So I walked up and I said, there's two of us. And they're like, oh, where's the other person? And I'm like, oh, he's parking. And they're like, okay, well, when he comes in, you can put your name in and we'll give you a wait time. So she wouldn't even let me put my... I understand not seating us if there's, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But I've never heard of them not even putting your name down or telling you how long it would be. So I was like, you can't just put my name down. He'll be right in. And they were like, no, if someone else comes in, it's not fair if your name is down or something like that. Like, their reasoning was something about people coming in after me. And I'm like, well, if there's a wait, he's going to be in here before.
Right. If they were seating people right away, I understand.
Yeah.
The people at their full party can come in and they can be seated. But if we're waiting for any amount of time over
He'll be right in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, part of the thing was that we didn't have a ton of time. And so I needed to know how long it was going to take if it fit into our window. And then I could as I had said, I would text you to let you know if it was go or not. Then I could text you and say, oh yeah, we can get in 10 minutes or no, it's an hour or whatever. They wouldn't even tell me that. And I was just like, never mind.
Somebody that was next to you or somebody in front of you said, yeah, they just told me and it was 20, yeah, the wait's 25 yeah minutes if yeah that helps or yeah whatever the wait. I don't even know if that was the wait time, yeah, but it seemed like it was around that.
Yeah.
Is that a common thing in the restaurant industry where you come in and the hostess will not even put your name on a list unless the whole party is there?
I don't know. Again, it doesn't like it, it's annoying, but I'm not like flabbergasted by it because I feel like they do weird things. I don't know.
And then like, you know, I'm fuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to call the restaurant. I want to leave a Yelp review.
I don't know. I was just annoyed, but I'm like, places suck now. So I don't know what to do.
Like, why are we putting up with this?
Well, it'd be interesting to see, you know, like I was saying, like, oh, you know, the big thing is how are things going to be post coronavirus? Are things going to change? I'm like, no, things are just going to go back to sucking.
Yeah.
We're going to forget all of this and just go back to our sucky ways again.
Place was packed.
Yeah.
So they don't even care.
Well, I was trying to think, like, because we used to go there when we lived closer, we would go there a lot when they first opened. And because there's not that much, if you're hearing this and have a restaurant and figuring things out, open a restaurant up here. And,
yeah. As you are at Rogers Park.
There's just so few good restaurants up here. I remember, like, we went one time. And I think they charged my card twice. Is that what happened? And then it was like really difficult to get them to fix it.
I think, yeah, yes, that was.
Is that what it was? I just remember us having like a difficult experience with them before.
And I think there was one of those things where we went a couple of times and we just sat at the bar and it was fine.
Yeah.
Like the bartender, we just had like a drink and maybe a sandwich or something, maybe just a couple of drinks and then left or whatever. And that was fine. And then I think once we were like actually advanced to sitting in the dining room for like a sit down
like
dinner,
the service was really bad.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I feel like we've been in the service has been bad. And then I definitely feel like, they charged my card twice and it was very hard to get them to ever do the refund.
Yeah. So if you're listening and you're from Peckish Pig,
get your act together.
This is considered service.
Yeah. And all these people are putting up with it.
Oh, I'm boycotting that place, but the place is packed. It's kind of like when we boycotted Three Floyds for a while. Seems like they're still hanging on. I don't know if
our
that
boycotts mean nothing.
I don't know if that worked.
Yeah. The other big thing that's gone on is just stuff with the Boston Marathon.
Yeah. So they
and our races being your Shamrock Shuffle canceled.
I know, and I just did
all
a,
your
I
training.
A really fast 4 mile run the other Sunday.
Yeah, so the Boston Marathon is postponed until September. And I mean, we've been like anxiously awaiting word on this for weeks, knowing there's something. And, honestly, I'm mostly fine with it in that I was feeling weird about having to go and do it in April anyway, with, you know, a big part of the Boston Marathon are parties and kissing the girls from Wellesley and all the fans and all the crowds being out and spectators. And if that wasn't the experience, I would feel more robbed of it. So I mean, it's hard that I've done all this training, and I was very like cool about it all, like, oh, it's not the big deal, I would have been running anyway. But then I started thinking about, like, oh my gosh, all those mornings I got up at 4:55 and ran in the super cold snow ice hills, that's a bummer to lose that. And I'm doing the Chicago Marathon in October, so I'll be training anyway. I just have to run those hills again.
But I feel for you because, I've watched you and I've admired how you trained and how you got up every morning. But it's not like you were doing a bad thing for your body.
No,
I mean, yes, it stinks getting up that early and running, but you're running and you're doing something that's good for you. You know, it's good for you.
Well, I like when we went to Orange Theory, because now I've been going to Orange Theory a lot. I've also have an overuse injury, so haven't been able to run this week. And, you know, I have an overuse injury from doing things like running 2 20-mile runs in a row and on hills. And I had like all this like energy on Friday. And I was just like crazy in Orange Theory, like doing my burpees like really big and doing my jump squats really big. And I was like, I'm the fittest person in here. I'm going to do it. I'm not wasting this fitness. This person is getting tired next to me after doing 5 Froggers. Give me a break. So I've got that going for me.
I do miss the, what another thing that we've been going through at Orange Theory has been the transformation challenge. Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't, you weren't part of the transformation challenge. I was, because I had the blue wristband that I wore all the time.
Which you got to keep wearing because they're not going to, they've extended the transformation challenge.
I thought that's what he said this morning, but yeah. I didn't understand.
I don't know why.
I didn't understand that because they can't weigh everybody right now. I don't know.
Or I guess people aren't going as much. So yeah, that's true. Fair. Yeah.
Like I was really like proud of my wristband and my attendance. Mm-hmm. Other than, I have to say, like we do a thing where we put stars next to
I think you've discussed this
next to our name.
Well.
And I'm a little bit disappointed because I have a really nice star streak.
Yeah.
And then right in the middle, we went to Austin.
Oh.
And I missed like four classes. So there's like four empty spaces for stars. And the guy above me, Paul Bonilla, he goes every day.
Aren't you more happy that you like were able to take a trip when you did and got to get away instead of the dumb stars? Also, they just take those sheets, like tomorrow they're going to be throwing all those sheets away, so it really doesn't matter.
I know. I was actually going to take a picture of it today to have it in my... my photo album for some reason.
This is really not something to be upset about.
The wristbands, you know, they were given to you so you could see other members on your, I had a blue wristband.
We've talked about this as
other
well.
Person had a green wristband. Mm-hmm. People don't listen to every podcast.
You're the only one that's worn it.
And,
you do laundry every night. That's about it.
It was so you could recognize your teammates, so you could give high fives and fist bumps, mm-hmm. and you know, cheer them on. And we've gotten, you know,
yeah,
like they've
yeah.
gotten rid of all yeah. sorts of high fives and yeah. fist bumps and elbow, you mm-hmm. know, you just don't touch anybody, which is
yeah.
great, you
yeah.
know, it's like that's what you're supposed to be doing,
right?
I have to say, I do kind of miss the
camaraderie,
the high fiving, even like the air high fiving if there's, you know, space between it.
Mm-hmm.
But so now, to make up for that, one of the things I do at the end of class is I lead our class usually in clapping.
You do.
And I didn't make it up.
Yeah.
Like people would clap. Like
yeah.
you would say, all right, you know, great job class. And people
yeah.
would clap.
Yeah. And, for each other and for the coach. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's been some classes where the clapping has been minimal. But I'm usually always the first one to clap. I'll do a couple little extra, mm-hmm. you know. But now since there's no high fives, I'm going nuts on the post class clap. Great job, everybody.
I'm sure everyone's taking note of this.
Oh, I want to know. I want the other members to know that, like, I appreciate you for coming. I appreciate you for keeping your distance.
Yeah.
I appreciate the staff for being here, because
the staff is doing an awesome job and the coaches are doing an awesome job. I wouldn't congratulate the people that are in that class. I don't feel like they're earning your clapping.
Most of them have been doing the right thing.
I will say two things. One is that, like, I went to go hang up. There was some very half-assed wiping off of things. And then I went to go and hang my mat up. And I turned around and there were, like, four people standing, like, right on top of me as I hung it up. And then when we were doing, like, squats with the medicine ball, people were barely squatting down, too. So no high fives for that. I'm like, you're risking your life coming in here and you're doing those squats.
Are we risking our lives by going in there? Is that what you just said?
No, I feel like it's safe, but I'm just saying.
You're very, very critical of some other people's squats. Speaking of that,
what's happened is that it used to be that I would just go to Orange Theory kind of like for fun and just for a little bit of benefit. And now that it's my main form of exercise, I better step it up.
One of the things that we did yesterday, we went for a couple of walks. We took our dog
yeah.
for a walk with our former foster, Lenny.
Yeah.
And Mary and Andres, yeah. they're Lenny's parents.
And I said, like, this is perfect because our dogs are, we have reactive dogs, and so we need space anyway. So you can be together and keep a
yeah.
distance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we also went to vote.
Yes. Attempted to.
We went to early vote. And I was a little mad that. Not mad that there was a line, because, you know, like...
Yeah, and I'm happy people are out voting.
Yeah, people, you know, this is an election that people are interested in. Yeah,
yeah.
So, but there's...
Longest line I've ever seen.
There was no social distancing.
No.
It was kind of... I was a little bit shocked that this was happening. There was nobody keeping anybody in line, telling people to separate.
Yeah.
So,
and we weren't the other people. We left, and we weren't the only people that left. Other people would walk in and leave too when they saw the situation.
And
it just was really crowded.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm like, oh, let's just go back today. So we went today, mm-hmm. Sunday,
right when they opened.
And same yeah. thing. There was a really long line. Not people right next to each other. Mm-hmm. It was not. I just didn't feel comfortable waiting in that line.
Yeah.
With that.
And no voting monitors, like, keeping people separated or wiping anything down. Or
so I know, like, the governor got mad at the president for, you know, how things were handled at O'Hare and stuff, mm-hmm. and I was like, I wanted to, like, tweet the governor and saying, hey, I know this is only one spot, but the Edgewater Library is crowded and people aren't keeping their social distance while they're waiting in line to vote.
Yeah.
Why are we still having this primary on Tuesday?
I don't know. Georgia postponed theirs till May. Louisiana postponed theirs till June. And who else? What other primaries are this
Ohio,
week?
Florida, Arizona, I think.
I know Ohio and Florida have been really hard hit. I'm surprised they haven't.
So, yeah, it's just like, and, you know, I mean, granted, this is voting. Today's a voting day. Tomorrow's a voting day, mm-hmm. as well. But I think the majority of people still go out to vote on election day.
Yeah.
You're going to have tons of people. These election judges are going to be sitting there with people coming up to them all day. I don't know. I don't think that's a good way to treat this as well.
Why don't you walk up and they just hand you a mail-in ballot? But I guess maybe they're not prepared, so...
Schools are closed now that he announced bars and restaurants are going to be closed and everything. Like, I don't, and he said, like, we're going to keep the election the same. Like, I don't know. There's got to be a reason why it can happen, how elections are important and stuff. We get that, but everything's important.
Yeah. Lori Lightfoot said, like, I went to vote. It was very clean. There was nobody there. I'm like, that... Maybe you had that experience, but maybe you need to look at, like, what most of the other experiences.
Yeah, and maybe maybe ours is the anomaly. Maybe other people are having that same experience where they didn't have to wait or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I know we're getting closer to the, you know, closer to the election, so it'll probably be ramped up for the next few days. So maybe the people that went, well, she just went yesterday, I think.
Yeah,
right? Two days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like,
it's concerning.
Yeah, it was very concerning. None of them looked healthy.
Well, we can't start judging if people look healthy or not. It just gave me a bad feeling. I'll say that.
I'm going to say they didn't look healthy.
it wasn't a real positive looking group of people.
They didn't look like...
Or it was a positive, like, I don't know. It just didn't have a clean... It did not feel clean.
Yeah, okay, yeah. These people should not be in line. They seem to, maybe they could be a little bit more susceptible.
It was a lot of old people.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, they could be susceptible more to the virus than somebody young and healthy.
Yeah. The young and healthy people were at bars drinking for St. Patrick's Day. The old people were all standing in line together.
Great. I can't believe that. Well, I mean, I can't believe that people were out for St. Patrick's Day. That's what we do here.
It's happening in New York too.
It happens everywhere. Yeah, I saw somebody tweet saying that J.B. Pritzker said, you all went out on St. Patrick's Day and drink, and I told you not to do that, and now you are grounded.
Lori Lightfoot seems so mad at people who went out yesterday. Yeah. Like, just so mad. Like, personally mad.
It was maddening. Again, there's no
Darwinism to this virus, to this disease. You're just going to hurt, like, people that are very innocent and all. Like, you're going to do the bad behavior, and then the person who's going to be hurt is your grandparents or someone near you with a fragile immune system who followed the rules.
And granted, we're adults and we know more and we act normally. So I want to call them all idiots the way they acted, because that's
I did on Instagram.
But
irresponsible.
Like, I wonder if when I was 21 and something like this was going on, we've never had to deal with anything quite like this.
No.
So I don't know if I would have, you know, when you're young, you just feel invincible and you're going to live forever.
What? 9/11? I was 21 when 9/11 happened. And I feel exactly the same now that I did then.
Yeah.
So I had a job in retail and I was worried about my job because we had to close. And I watched the news all the time and I was on the phone with, like, my mom and my grandmother all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was scared. I mean, back when 9/11, you went out and were with people to feel better. So that's different.
Yeah, that's true.
But I remember being scared and freaked out and taking it very seriously. So
yeah.
I didn't, like, go out and party to deal with it.
Yeah.
So I think you, I don't know what you were like when you were 21, but I think if this was happening and I was 21, that would not be what I was doing.
I'd like to think that, but yeah, I can't say for certain that I wouldn't, I don't know. Yeah, it's just different.
Going out to party at St. Patrick's Day, I would never have done that at any point in my life. It's not like would have suddenly become a different person. That is on my nightmare list.
I mean, you wouldn't have gone to a St. Patrick's Day pub crawl, but perhaps like your friends would have a get together with, you know, 10 or 12.
I don't have the kind of friends that celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Okay. What kind of basic person do you think I am?
I don't want to be like, you know, okay boomer.
Yeah.
I saw somebody tweeting that kids are calling the coronavirus boomer remover.
Oh my God, that's horrible. That makes my stomach drop right there. Yeah. Again, there was some Darwinism in this virus, unfortunately.
I don't think people for the most part, I don't think people pay attention. I shouldn't say for the most part, but there's a large swath of society that doesn't like really watch, you know, they're not watching the news. They're not really paying attention. They're not reading the paper. They, you know, they're just kind of in their own bubble, living their life, going to work, not paying attention. They may not even realize what they're doing.
Yeah.
Still no excuse, but
of all times to be alive, it's never been an easier time to be informed about things. So
yeah.
The other thing we watched was The Soup last night, which we hadn't watched yet, and we loved The Soup. I mean, I've loved The Soup from day one, from Greg Kinnear days. So we loved it with Joel McHale, and then they brought it back on Netflix, I guess, like with Paul Feig, and it was not good. Too many bits.
Yeah.
We just love classic Soup, and so now they've brought it back on E. And we've missed, like, because it's a lot of shows that we don't watch. And so you see the funny clips from them. And so you get just the best part of things.
Yeah.
And I think I was hesitant to watch it because in the commercials, it's like the new woman that's hosting it. It seemed like a lot, like she was wearing a lot of costumes and bits. And I was like, no, just show me the clips. So we watched it and it was exactly the same as far as the clips goes.
Yeah. Now,
like the jokes in between. Maybe we'll get better. We're not great.
No.
I could have done without that. But the clips were like exactly the same.
Exactly what we wanted.
Yeah, which I loved.
And yeah, and I felt like the jokes were very similar to the jokes that Joel McHale did.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
The delivery, maybe.
Like her delivery wasn't as good.
Joel McHale would say stupid things and know he was saying something stupid. Whereas like she was trying to like sell the joke more, maybe. And again, like this could get better. I don't think she was not a funny person. It was just weird.
Yeah. You know, even the classic Soup, just like say the Joel McHale Soup, you know, they still did their bits. They would do like one, you know, with Mankini and stuff, you know, that existed,
yeah.
But it wasn't really the brunt of the show or the, you know, most of the show was concentrating on the clips.
Yeah.
And yeah, I felt that's how this was.
They did
a bit too, which wasn't that great. I'm like, no,
I was frustrated with their, I thought their Bachelor coverage was subpar.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought I was like,
and actually maybe encouraged. If I watched more of those shows, I would feel like they didn't do a good job with the American Idol or the Housewives or whatever, or Vanderpump coverage too. But the reason I thought of it is that they showed a clip from American Idol where there was this contestant who didn't know who any of the judges were. He didn't know who Katy Perry was, and he thought he didn't know who Lionel Richie was. And then actually, I feel bad saying this. Is the country guy? Is that Luke Bryant?
Yeah,
is that who that is?
I think so.
He thought he was Justin Timberlake. And we were both just like, how do you not know? How do you not know who Katy Perry is?
And the Soup, they made it seem like because the kid was from Hawaii.
Because you know, don't have the same news.
Yeah, like it's so far away.
Like you're just living with like a grass skirt and like going to like pig roast. Like you don't have like real, like you don't have like computers and phones and internet. Yeah.
The Joel McHale Netflix was really just for Paul Feig to do his dumb bits. Like he was on all the time and sitting in the front row doing his bits of
Paul Feig was responsible for that Bad Someone Great movie too. I feel like Paul Feig, controversial take here. More bad than good.
Yeah, I think lately it is more bad than good. Or you're going to say overall.
No. Good Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
Bad at pretty almost everything else.
I feel he was involved in like some other, like he's directed The Office and he was
that's true. In yeah,
Community,
yeah, yeah.
I think
Parks and Rec too. Maybe
you know, like he had some a hand in some of those episodes.
That's true. But I'm going to say more bad than good. But I feel like he's beloved, and like we're not allowed to say anything bad about him. But responsible for a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah,
too.
He really. And that soup too, though. It was they weren't because they would do the whole season in one drop. So
yeah.
It wasn't like that.
It wasn't. It was.
Clips.
It was just like YouTube clips and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So
like
yeah.
It was like America's Funniest Home Videos more.
So yeah, if you love the soup, it's still on E, right? It's on.
I think so.
Yeah. If you loved like the traditional soup, give it a shot because I thought it was okay.
I'd
watch it again.
Yeah.
Is it going to be one of those things that's going to stack up on the...
No, I think we have to just watch, get it through in a week. Like, you've got a week to watch this, like, 20 minutes. You just get it done so that... And then that's how we were very capillary. Don't let those pile up.
Has there been a new one?
Yeah, there's a new one on the DVR.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. It's not over yet, God forbid.
No. No, so much has happened. There was the Nashville tornado and then coronavirus. Like, what are her thoughts and she's thoughts on all this? I've got to know.
It's taped well in advance.
I know, and I follow her on Instagram, so I already like that thing.
I don't think she's, well, whatever. I don't even want to know what they think about the coronavirus, you know, anti-vaxxer. So let's,
I know there's like this mom influencer. Should I say who it is? Because I feel like people like this is a very popular person.
Yeah, I don't care. No. why are you asking me?
Okay, so I started following the Shut the Kale Up like account on Instagram a while back, and she like lives in California and she has a couple of kids and she's this is an Instagram person, and I started realizing that like following her. It was bad to follow her, like mm-hmm. mentally bad to follow her, and it was like something about her like was made me feel bad about myself, but then also just like her followers made me feel bad too. I don't even know. I can't describe. I just felt better when I didn't see her posts. There's just something gross about it, and anyway, then it just became a lot of like all she was doing is trying to sell vacuum cleaners, and but I did have this thought this morning. I was like, I wonder what she's saying right now about what are these Instagram influencers like? What are their takes on what's happening right now?
It's odd in like when I'm
lifestyle blogger type people.
When I'm on Twitter, kind of looking through, and like there's a press conference going on, or you know there's news happening, and you're like scrolling through the news, and then like you see a post from like a scheduled post from someone talking about like their jeans, and you just like it's weird.
Like, or when you get an email from a company that's like from like a box subscription or whatever, they're like, it's not too late to get on the spring box. And
no, not
this
today.
Is clueless.
It's like bad form. And I do like one of the things that, you know, like, yeah, you have a small business and you could order, like, you don't have to leave the house. You can order.
No,
you have
there's
a website,
still things you need.
You know, like,
and
I know restaurants are going to be closed.
Life isn't over.
Like,
it's just in a different way right now.
Yeah. There are ways you can support your small business, your local stores and stuff like that you just, might have to rethink things the normal way that you can. That you have been doing them. So, but yeah, like, it's like, why?
If you want them there when things are back to normal, you need to support them now.
Yeah. Why Madewell Men's are you telling me about a new jean jacket right now? You know what's happening in the world?
It's a bit tone deaf.
What else? Anything?
Oh, I mean, I guess I never really finished talking about the marathon in that, like, I feel okay.
Oh, you haven't finished talking about running?
No, I started it but didn't finish because this is the other thing I wanted to say about it was that like I appreciate everybody reaching out to me about it, and it's, I mean, what can I do? So I'm just happy that it's not canceled, that it's still going to happen, and I'm still going to run 26.2 miles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So my friends and I are going to have our own marathon, just our little training group. And I have a couple friends who were training for half marathons too that were canceled. So that's what we were saying about, like, with Shamrock was canceled. The Cary half marathon that was supposed to be today was canceled. And I have a friend who's doing Milwaukee, a friend who's doing Illinois. It's all been canceled. My friend is in Cleveland. That's not canceled yet. That's in May, but you know, that could, who knows what will happen. So
now, is the Milwaukee one, are they're canceled?
They're canceled. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not postponed.
Yeah. So we're all going to just in a casual non-race way, run 26.2 miles at the end of April.
I think that's like a wonderful idea.
Yeah, it's fun. It feels like, I think it's a great idea. It feels fun. Like, we're going to have medals. We're going to have swag. We're going to have
medals. It's like the Office Olympics.
Yes. My mom said she would set up, she was going to order medals for us. She's like, she, you know, we have energy right now to put into things. And that she was going to have like bananas and oranges for us at an aid station.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'll do an aid station.
Yeah, of course.
And so we can have a half marathon and a full marathon. And it will be fun to run along the lake to a further point than we normally do. And I'm thinking just out and back. And there's a hill near the starting point, so we could finish with that hill, just like in Boston. And
what are some other traditions of Boston?
Well, I want,
maybe that we could do.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it just depends on how much work we want to actually put into it. There's various signs we could recreate, various landmarks we could recreate. I don't know if we would really be that creative, but I did want to say, like, wear Boston colors, or wear, if you have a Boston jacket or hat or something like that, wear that.
This is something like that Black Club Chicago should write about.
Yeah,
though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it's like it's a good.
But again, I don't want it to.
Story.
I want there to, I don't know. We'll just see how in a couple of weeks where we are.
We're stocked up on everything.
Yep.
A little low on cream.
Oh no.
I can probably get that at Target.
Yeah, like, when everyone was panicking, Whole Foods was out of everything, Trader Joe's was out of everything, so I went to, like, a grocery store that's by my studio. It's a less white privileged shoppers there, and it was, like, so beautiful, like, so well stocked and so calm, and just I got stocked up and felt better.
Yeah.
About things, like, shopping with people who weren't quite as, like, panicked.
Crazed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want everybody to be okay. Everybody that's listening, I'm sure you're going through it right now. And as you said, Molly, did you say this too shall pass? Did you make that
up? I did, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I originated that. Well, I was like, I'm going to go get a tattoo in my arm. This is that, which I don't have any tattoos, nor do I ever plan on getting one. But I was like, this, I'm going to do this. And then I looked it up, and it's like a thing that everybody has.
Oh, so, it yeah. is. But it's good to remember, like, when I hear that, and I've seen a few people say that, it does make me feel a little better. Because, you know, there's times where you're like, you know, you're panicked, and you're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen
here?
We've
made it through other ends of the world.
Yeah.
We're okay. And hopefully we learn things from this, and it's better when something bigger happens. Dr. Marmide, sports medicine doctor, has a tattoo on his forearm, like the inside of his forearm, that says, "This will not do," which I've never asked him what that means.
Yeah, what do you think?
I
that
don't know.
Means?
He's kind of like, he's sort of all business. Do. So I don't know. I just have never
he's
been like,
like, hey, never happy with his work.
No,
it always, this always can be better.
I don't know. Yeah, what does it mean?
You
I'll ask him.
Assignment for next week.
I'll ask him. Now I can, like, now I have a way. I feel like I can bring it up in conversation, because I can say that I had like was,
oh,
like,
yeah,
felt like I needed something on my arm to remind me of to look at.
Yeah.
He's very nice. He's just sort of like a tough nut to crack.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he just gets mad at me for running too much. So.
All right. Well, that's it, I guess, for this week. I guess we'll have time to do podcasts.
Yeah.
So,
at least for the next couple weekends.
So next week, we'll bring you a review of the last 24 episodes of This Is Us in at least one season, the first season of The Americans.
And Better Call Saul. This sounds horrible.